Welcome to Audit IQ Update for July the 1st, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We've had a packed week across the e-commerce technology landscape, and I want to start with something that dropped on June 30th from Shopify that I think signals where headless commerce is really heading. Shopify announced that their Hydrogen Developer Preview can now be deployed to Versal with a single click. No local setup, no CLI fiddling, no manual configuration. You hit a deploy button, it creates a repo from the Next.js starter template, sets up a Versal project, and builds it. The template ships with a working storefront that has the typed storefront API client, cart functionality, and product and collection pages already connected. Now, why does this matter beyond just developer convenience? Well, because it fundamentally changes the accessibility of headless commerce. Hydrogen has been Shopify's answer to the headless question for a while now, but the operational overhead of setting up a custom front end, configuring deployment pipelines, and managing infrastructure has kept many merchants, especially mid-market ones, on traditional liquid themes. One-click deployment to Versal removes that barrier almost entirely. You can go from zero to a working headless storefront in minutes. Oh, but here's the thing I want everyone to think carefully about. When you move from Shopify's hosted theme environment to a headless architecture, you're also moving away from Shopify's built-in monitoring safety net. Your front end is now running independently on Versal's edge network. Every API call to the storefront API, every cart mutation, every product query, these are all happening in your custom code. When something breaks, and things will break, Shopify doesn't see it, and Versal's logs only give you the infrastructure view, not the customer experience view. This is the headless monitoring gap, and it's something that every merchant considering this path needs to have a plan for before they deploy, not after they start losing orders. Speaking of Shopify, there was another significant release that came out the same day. Starting with API version 2026.07, sales channel apps can now use order attribution definitions to identify the specific source that created an order. Previously, attribution was limited to the app or channel level. Now you can attribute orders to a marketplace, a region, an account, or even a specific surface within your sales channel. This is done through a new set of mutations and queries. The order attribution definition, upcert mutation for creating definitions, and order.attribution for reading the resolve details. The old order.channel information field remains available but is now deprecated. This is genuinely useful for multi-channel merchants. If you're selling through a sales channel app that operates across multiple marketplaces or surfaces, you can now trace orders back to their exact origin. But, and this is a point I keep coming back to, attribution data is only valuable if those orders actually complete. If a broken checkout flow prevents orders from being created in the first place, you've got nothing to attribute. The monitoring has to come before the analytics. Now, let me shift to the infrastructure side. Cloudflare released Wrangler 4.6.0 on June 30th, and the headline feature is the new AI search jobs commands. You can now manage AI search indexing jobs entirely from the command line, listing, triggering, inspecting, cancelling, and reading logs. They've also added source jurisdiction support for R2-backed AI search instances, which lets you point an instance at an R2 bucket in a specific jurisdiction like EU or FedRAMP. This is particularly relevant for e-commerce merchants who are using Cloudflare workers for edge-side logic and need to comply with data residency requirements. Alongside Wrangler, Miniflare got updated to version 4.2026.0.630.0 with a bunch of edge case fixes for the local R2 public bucket endpoint. They've corrected how write methods, malformed ranges, and unsatisfiable ranges are handled, and fixed a bug where object keys containing a literal percent sign would fail. These are the kinds of infrastructure fixes that matter for e-commerce, If you're using R2 for product image storage or asset delivery and your CDN layer is mangling edge cases, customers are seeing broken images or failed asset loads, and those directly affect the shopping experience. The Cloudflare Vitess Pool Workers package also got a notable update to version 0.7.0. The Workflow Introspectors GET method is now async, which is a breaking change that teams need to be aware of, and they've added support for requiring WebAssembly modules in common JS dependencies. This is more of a developer tooling story, but it speaks to the maturation of the Cloudflare Workers ecosystem for building and testing edge-side e-commerce logic. All right, let's pivot to security, because there's an ongoing story that I think deserves more attention from the e-commerce community. Sansec's research into the WebRTC payment skimmer continues to be relevant. For those who haven't followed this, Sansec discovered a payment skimmer that uses WebRTC data channels, not traditional HTTP requests, to receive its payload and exfiltrate stolen payment data. The clever part is that this completely bypasses content security policy headers and HTTP-based security monitoring tools. Your CSP can be airtight, your HTTP monitoring can be solid, and this skimmer still operates because WebRTC peer-to-peer connections don't go through the channels that these defenses watch. The attack exploited a PolyShell vulnerability in Magento and Adobe Commerce environments and was found targeting e-commerce sites throughout March 2026. According to the Hacker News, it hit 56.7% of targeted stores. DotSec published a follow-up analysis arguing that this is a case study in why assume breach is the only reliable security posture. You can't just block known attack channels. You need to monitor the customer-facing experience for anomalies, unexpected scripts, unusual data exfiltration patterns, modified checkout forms, regardless of the channel they use. This is something I feel strongly about. Traditional security monitoring looks at the infrastructure layer, but web skimmers operate at the browser layer. They modify what the customer sees and intercepts what the customer types. Monitoring the real user experience, including the DOM state and the scripts executing in the customer's browser, is the layer where these attacks become visible. If you're only watching your servers, you're missing the most dangerous class of e-commerce attacks. Now let me move to some industry research that came out recently that I think provides essential context for everyone in e-commerce. Smashing Magazine published an excellent piece called 10 Data-Backed Truths of User Experience ROI, and there are a few data points in there that I want to highlight. First, fixing issues during the design phase is 100 times cheaper than fixing them post-launch. That's not a rough estimate. It's a widely validated finding across the software industry. For e-commerce, this means that every bug that makes it into production is dramatically more expensive than it needed to be, both in engineering time to fix and in lost revenue while it persists. Second, and this is the one that should be on every e-commerce operator's wall, improving your largest contentful paint by 31%, which is a benchmark that 67% of websites had already achieved as of June 2025, can drive a direct 8% increase in conversions. Think about what that means for your bottom line. If your store does $1 million a month in revenue, an 8% conversion lift is $80,000 in additional monthly revenue, achieved not through marketing spend or discounting, but through technical performance improvement. And the compounding effect is real. Better performance leads to better search rankings, which drives more traffic, which at higher conversion rates means substantially more revenue. The article also notes that on slow connections, conversion rates typically plummet from 40% down to 29%. That's an 11 percentage point drop. Not because the product is wrong or the price is too high, but because the page loaded too slowly. This is why real user monitoring matters so much more than synthetic testing. Your Lighthouse score might be perfect, but if 15% of your customers are on slow mobile connections and seeing 3-second LCP times, your real-world conversion rate tells a very different story. On the broader industry data front, Statista reports that global cart abandonment reached 70.22% in 2026, an increase of over 10 percentage points. Baymard Institute's research continues to show that while shipping costs remain the number one stated reason for abandonment at 48%, technical friction is a significant compounding factor. 18% of shoppers cite a checkout process that's too long or complicated, but when you dig into what complicated means, it often includes technical failures, forms that don't validate, payment methods that fail to render, pages that shift layout during interaction. CSS Tricks wrapped up June with their What's Important number 14 roundup, covering some exciting CSS developments. CSS gap decorations are getting real attention. Tamani Afif demonstrated how to style the gaps in Flexbox, a grid, and multi-column layouts. Now, this is a welcome addition for front-end teams building product grids and collection pages. But from a monitoring perspective, any new CSS layout feature that affects element positioning is a potential source of cumulative layout shift. If gap decorations aren't rendering consistently across browsers, your product grid might shift during page load on certain devices, and that directly impacts your CLS score and, by extension, your core web vitals. The roundup also covered the CSS random function, which is currently only supported in Safari, and the new field sizing property for select elements, which became baseline when Firefox 152 shipped it recently. The field sizing content value changes how select dropdowns render, setting their width to match their selected option. For e-commerce checkout forms that use select elements for country, state, or shipping method dropdowns, this changes the layout behavior in ways that teams need to test. New theming capabilities with at property, light dark, and contrast color are also now baseline, which is great for building accessible modern storefronts, but adds another dimension of rendering variation that monitoring needs to account for. Practical eCommerce's June 24th tools roundup highlighted the accelerating trend toward agentic commerce, AI-powered sales agents, generative engine optimization, and automated marketing tools. This is fascinating from a technology perspective, but it also raises monitoring questions. When AI agents are generating product recommendations, creating dynamic landing pages, or interacting with customers through chat, the potential failure modes multiply. An AI agent that recommends an out-of-stock product, generates a broken link, or provides incorrect pricing information is a conversion-killing error that traditional monitoring might not catch because the error isn't a server crash. It's bad data presented correctly. Let me bring this all together with what I think is the key theme from this week. The e-commerce technology stack is becoming more capable and more complex simultaneously. Shopify is making headless commerce accessible to a wider audience. Cloudflare is pushing AI-powered search and edge computing capabilities. New CSS features are enabling richer, more dynamic storefronts. Agentic commerce is adding AI-driven layers on top of existing infrastructure. And through all of this, the attack surface for both errors and security threats is expanding. The merchants who will navigate this successfully are the ones who invest in monitoring that matches the complexity of their stack. Not just server monitoring, not just synthetic tests, but real user monitoring that understands the e-commerce context. That can tell you not just that an error occurred, but what that error is costing you in revenue, that can detect a layout shift on a product page and connect it to a drop in add-to-cart rates, that can spot anomalous behavior in checkout flows, whether it comes from a bug or a skimmer. That's what we're building at Audit IQ, monitoring that speaks the language of e-commerce, that connects technical metrics to business outcomes, and that helps teams focus their limited engineering time on the issues that matter most. If any of this resonated with you, I'd encourage you to take a look at what we're doing. That's your Audit IQ update for July 1st, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at auditiu.cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.